Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory, paint the breeze.
Patrick?
Yes.
Oh, got you. Keep you
okay.
Warm. Welcome to the show. And well, I hope we can warm people up back there in Illinois.
Well, I hope so, too. Are we on the air now? Or,
yes, we're on the air. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you. I can hear you clear as a bell.
Oh, okay. Well, and you're so clear. How would you describe yourself, Patrick?
How would I describe myself?
Occupational-wise. Not your foibles and... when you're on the job.
Okay. I am a newspaper reporter, local historian, published author, general troublemaker. I don't know what else I can say about myself that would describe me that could be used before a mixed audience.
Well, what about your recent pilgrimage to Rome to meet the Pope?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was not an early canonization interview. But yes, I did see His Holiness. I went with my friend Kathy, and we got a reasonably decent view of him, where he was holding an audience with about 2,000 of his closest friends. We do know that the Pope is a night owl, because around 11:30, 12 o'clock, we were going by St. Peter's Square, and we could see the lights on in the papal apartments. So he is not one of these 9-to-5 guys who, doesn't take his work home with him. His work is with him at all times.
The work of the Lord. Today is the the anniversary of the death of Fyodor Dostoevsky, Crime and Punishment. Are you familiar with that author?
Yes, I am.
Okay, along that line, what is the status of Blago?
Well, Blago is now demanding tapes of telephone conversations between him and Rahm Emanuel, who, as you know, is running for mayor of Chicago after having left his post as White House chief of staff. And those tapes apparently are nowhere to be found.
Sounds like the missing tapes in Watergate.
It does.
It's a bigger gap, though.
Yeah. But this is, after all, Chicago. And all kinds of things happen, and our standard answer to everything is it's a mystery. If that doesn't work, this will be reviewed in the fullness of time. The problem is so many of our lawmakers, both in Springfield and in City Hall, spent some of their time in the seminary before going into politics, that they adopted some of the jargon there, and it really gets amusing at times.
There was a famous comedy involving a New York taxi cab driver who had a fare coming from the airport, and they were talking like taxi cab drivers usually try to listen, you know, chatter. And the guy asked him about his family. He says, "Oh, my son's in the seminary." And the taxi cab driver says, "The Jesuits have got him." And the taxi cab driver says, "Well, what are they doing to him?" Well, we are both from the Catholic, the fundamentalist Catholic background in boarding school, and I like to say I like my right Roman, but my theology French.
Yes, without being Jansenist French.
Right. What is now, what is the status of, Illinois used to be one of the most prosperous, and I don't want to use the word progressive, because it's so misused, and the communists, in my view, co-opted the term after they went into their political closet after World War II.
Right.
But what happened to Illinois' economy?
Illinois' economy, as they say in higher academic circles, is down the toilet. And the state is close to being almost bankrupt, if states could go bankrupt. And, you know, it's the governor is not in an enviable position.
Now, did he win by a large a majority or margin when he, you know, ran in November, last November?
I wouldn't say he won by a large margin. I would say that he won by enough of a margin not to justify a recount.
Okay, or a recall.
Right.
Well, he's not going to be impeached. Is he out of the Chicago Cook County Democratic machine?
Well, he's out of the suburban area. And,
okay.
I mean, he's out. Actually, what happened was he is out of the community activist area. He started out with groups like the Citizens Action Project and those kinds of things. He was always a maverick and gradually gravitated toward mainstream politics. He was, as you know, the state treasurer and got some experience there and was elected lieutenant governor. Usually you get elected lieutenant governor or vice president of the United States, for that matter, when people want to put you on a shelf where you're not going to do much harm. But
of course, they didn't count on Teddy Roosevelt and McKinley.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why Teddy Roosevelt became vice president, because they didn't want him to become governor of New York. So
right.
They figured if they make him VP, he'll be safely out of action for a while and eventually become anonymous.
Now, it's interesting, I think we discussed this on the telephone, that Richard Daley the First in the Adlai Stevenson, the first, when he was governor of Illinois, Richard Daley the First was finance director, and the state didn't have these problems. Did any of this rub off on Richard Daley Jr.? No, financial ability to keep. Is Chicago solvent, by the way, or is it bankrupt like a lot of American cities are going?
Chicago is about $600 million in the hole. Largely pension obligations, but other things as well.
Well, yeah. You're not the only one. California's even worse on that one.
Right. You know, and $600 million in the hole, it depends on whether you're talking about a city, a state, or a private individual. You know, it's $600 million in the hole is a gap which can be filled with a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of fiscal discipline. We may not see that this time around, or we may be pleasantly surprised. I don't know. Rahm Emanuel is still an enigma.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he would be, if elected, he would be the first Jewish, I don't know if he practices, but, you know, how
he
that
does.
Goes.
He does.
Okay, okay. Is he Orthodox or conservative or modern or whatever the term
moderate.
Is?
Moderate.
Okay, modern, okay. Now, it's interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, the majority of Chicago's mayors in the history have been Irish, with the one Bohemian, the one Croatian, Blandic.
No, we had a couple Germans as well who were mayors.
Oh, back in the 1800s?
Yeah,
okay.
And then we had a couple WASPs. You remember...
Oh, Big Bill Thompson.
Well, remember Levi Boone, who tried to close saloons in Chicago on Sundays and provoked what were known as the beer riots of 1855, because both the Germans and the Irish wanted to have a drink on Sundays, and this was their only day off during the week. And Levi Boone, who was a charter member of the Know Nothing Party, was having none of that. So you had riots downtown, and Levi Boone, who incidentally was related to Daniel Boone.
Who was a drinker.
Levi Boone was a one-term mayor who ventured off into oblivion after his term ended.
Well deserved. Did he meet Lemonade Lucy?
Well, they were about two or three.
That's Hayes' wife. For those of us, people who are listening, don't know. Yes. Yeah. Well, I that wouldn't go over in Chicago with all of its beer breweries. Down through the ages. I guess Chicago doesn't have any more of that, do they?
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
A city.
Yes. Well, the big.
What
breweries...
are they? Are these boutique breweries like we have here?
Well, the big breweries have kind of gone by the wayside. You're
mm-hmm.
talking about Schlitz. You're talking
right.
about you know the old classics.
Right.
Box Deluxe.
Right. Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Now you've got you call them boutique beers. Others call them craft beers. They're beers made by smaller breweries in smaller quantities. Sometimes the breweries are associated with, a bar or a chain of bars, just like in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got brewing coming back in Chicago. I think there are about 40 small breweries throughout the Chicago area. And
mm-hmm.
back in the old days, there were about as many large breweries, but that was at a time when people in general were consuming a lot more beer than they do today.
So there's more wine being consumed and water, boutique water.
Yeah. Although boutique water is not because of the recession, boutique
mm-hmm.
water, bottled water,
mm-hmm.
is not selling as well as it did during the 80s and 90s.
Now it was a report that Chicago had. If not the best, among the best water in the country, is that true?
It still does. It still does.
Now,
water
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Tastiest, and it has not posed any health problems since the cholera epidemics of the 1880s.
Now, I'm not talking about holy water now.
We're not talking about holy water.
Now, since we're along that line, I think I mentioned to you that one of my interviews, the guy who built the American side of the St. Lawrence Seaway, I asked him, there was a problem that started with the lamprey eels, I think, coming into the Great Lakes.
Right.
And I asked him at the time, I said, with these foreign ships coming in, would they not be bringing in, whether they knew it or not, foreign animal life, and this would spread into the Great Lakes system and contaminate, go after the fish and prey on the fish and all that. He did not know that at the time, if you remember when the St. Lawrence Seaway was opened back in the mid-50s.
1959.
Right, when, okay.
Incidentally, that was when the Queen of England came to visit Chicago, and that is why the walkway leading from Buckingham Fountain to the lake is known as the Queen's Walk, because that's the route that she took to the HMS Britannia, which was out in the middle of Lake Michigan.
Right. I won't give a little comment about Chicago's gay life. We'll save that for later. Now, what's the situation? I understand the federal government, there was some court challenges to clean up, to try to clear out the, what is it, lamprey eels or whatever that predator is in Lake Michigan. What, have you been following that?
Well, they seem to find a new predator in the lake, you know, every few years. I mean, there was a time when it was alewives, then it was lamprey eels, then it was Asian carp. And after a while, unless you're an avid fisherman, you kind of lose track of them. I mean, if they're not edible, you just don't pay too much attention to them.
Ah. Oh, since how bad is the snow situation back there?
We are just coming out of what is reported to be the third worst blizzard that we have had in recorded Chicago history.
I remember two of them.
You remember?
Now, I remember how Blandick was defeated by the snow and Jane Byrne. This won't happen to, since Richard Daley II is leaving office, has he been able to, what is it, Streets and Sanitation, the Bureau of Streets and Sanitation, have they been clearing away the snow and not wrecking people's cars?
Actually, the city has done, and I know that you hear complaints from people who have been stranded on Michigan Avenue or Lakeshore Drive, largely because they didn't get the memo that there was going to be a blizzard. The city has done, all things considered, a pretty good job handling this snowstorm. Not everyone is going to agree, but those are the people whose side streets have not been yet. But then again, that has never been done under any mayor. So the city gets fairly decent marks for their handling of this situation.
Unlike New York, where one of those tractors was wrecking this guy's car and somebody caught it on a video camera. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah.
Well,
they found
bodies under snowdrifts in New York.
Were these homeless people or just people who couldn't
get home? Well, one guy, apparently he had a residence, but he had been shot in the head, so he couldn't get back home.
Oh,
and,
God.
Then there was another guy who may have died of exposure or may have simply died of a heart attack. That was in the papers yesterday. I don't know if they've done the autopsy yet, but...
They won't be doing like what Mike Royko wrote in his book, Boss, looking for valuables in the corpse. Does that still go on?
I don't know. I don't hang around morgues that much. I really don't. I mean,
okay, you know, I'll tell you that.
I've been there a couple times, but that was about it.
On the job, I think. Okay, you weren't going there. Never mind. Body snatching. Since we're in a transportation bit, now there's a growing move out here. People are getting tired of the bicycles. I know you don't drive, but what's and there? I guess there's special bike lanes, and this is becoming a policy of a lot of municipal governments. But the complaint here is these people, these bicyclists, not only don't obey the laws, but some states do require bicyclists to have license plates, and they do tax bicycles. What's going on in Illinois along that line?
Oh, there's been talk of that, but nothing has come of that. And, you know, bike riding is becoming increasingly popular in Chicago. But, you know, bike riders in Chicago range from the very courteous to the totally arrogant. One of my personal pet peeves are people that insist on riding their bikes on the sidewalks thinking they're in the Grand Prix. And then they just barrel right down the sidewalks. And on the other hand, I've seen others, you know, they're unfailingly courteous. So they're like people in general. I mean, some are arrogant, and others are human beings.
I think we're living in the age of arrogance, at least out here with its pansy politics and, you know, me, me, me. You know?
Yeah,
do the Chicago cops ticket?
If these guys
go through stop signs or red lights, because that's starting up here again.
Yes, they can. Do they? I haven't seen much of it. But remember, the Chicago police force is undermanned right now. They
oh,
are
I didn't know that.
2,000 to 3,000 officers below authorized strength. They are talking about redeploying officers from the north side, where you have less crime, probably because of the fact that you've got enough officers, to the south side, where you have, in some parts of the south and west side, you know, crime rates which are off the charts. And it's, you know, it's one of these things that, yeah, we don't have enough cops in Chicago, so you have to prioritize. You
got
have
you.
To concentrate more on some guy in a car speeding through an intersection, or you have to concentrate on, you know, gangbangers trying to take over CTA cars, that kind of thing. It's, you know, this is not Mayberry, and you have a lot of real crime going on, and quite frankly, not enough cops to do it. The Guardian Angels are back in Chicago.
Oh, are they?
After a recess of about 6 or 7 years, they've returned, and the Guardian Angels made a very good bust. Just the other night, somebody had snatched someone's camera on a CTA train, and the Guardian Angels were right there and grabbed the guy and held him for the police.
That's good.
We're not at the level of doing what some cities have contemplated, and that is forming an auxiliary police, reserve, as it were. That has been discussed, but it has only been discussed very quickly, and then they've changed the subject.
Now, Chicago police had a reputation for corruption. What's the current status, in your opinion?
Well, actually, today I think there is less corruption than there was years ago. I think it's still there, and I think that is the only way you control it. See, the persons that I blame when there is corruption are their supervisors. If their sergeants and their lieutenants are watching carefully what their men are doing, their men are not going to be doing it. But when they think they can get away with it, that's where you have the corruption that you're talking about. I think
like Serpico and that. Yeah, right, and Summerdale.
Yeah. I mean,
remember that one? By the way, did you know that the babbling burglar ended up in California? He died a few years ago.
Well, it seems everybody ends up in California.
Don't say anymore.
I mean, Francis Gary Powers ended up in California, too.
Oh, God. Now, since we're on the crime beat, today is in 1909, the federal government prohibited opium. Now, also today, Bill Clinton, who's no stranger, he didn't inhale, says
right.
that they can't legalize the drugs because there's too much money in it. What's your take on that?
Ooh. Do you want to go to lunch? I mean, that's how long it would take to really get into this. I mean, same arguments were made during the period of prohibition. I think we obviously need a more. You're asking the kinds of questions actually that you would be asking a presidential candidate, which I am not.
You'd like to be.
Well.
Wow, one of these days we'll have to reveal what you did at on Clark Street. That's a classic.
Well, tell them.
No, we'll save that one for a juicier time. It was a classic performance.
But no, I'm not dodging the question, but I don't want to spend the rest of the program. You know,
oh, no. I was just curious. Well, then you've got, generally speaking, the same drug problem is probably rampant across the country. Everybody's facing the same thing. The problem is it's spilling over. I guess Arizona and Texas have worse because they're on the border there, and it's become
right.
a war down there. Has any of that spread up to Chicago?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. You know, there have been, you know, drug kingpins have been much more active in Chicago, and some would say with greater impunity than before. And part of it is because of the fact that the drug enforcement people, both the federal and the local people, are so strapped for manpower. There's just not much you can do.
Right. Yeah. No. I personally think it's legalization isn't going to happen because it just. I agree with Clinton on it. It's just too much of it. It's been around too long. And the only thing we can do is to try to control it, and that's going to be difficult as it is. Getting back to economics, how successful is Indiana and Wisconsin, if at all, luring business away from Illinois?
It's too early to tell. They've tried.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point of having radio and TV commercials aimed at business owners to get them. In fact, New Jersey has even tried. they've run radio commercials trying to lure local businesses to relocate to New Jersey. Yeah, as soon as the last round of tax increases came through down in Springfield, neighboring states and some not so neighboring immediately started competing for the business.
Now, do you have sales tax and an income tax, property tax in Illinois? All three?
All three.
Because like Oregon, I think, only has property tax. They don't have a sales tax, and people come across their borders, even from Canada, to shop down in Oregon.
Right.
But, they may change that, too, given every state's got major problems. How do you see, you want a forecast on the 2012 election, the national election?
All right. You mean the Chicago elections? Okay.
Give us, Chicago politics, I keep telling people out here, are real politic, not the pansy politics we have out here, or crotch politics is what I call it.
Okay, the election to take place on February 23rd is going to be one of the most important elections in Chicago history. Regardless of who wins, it will be a sea change. More than one-fifth of the city council, some would say as much as a quarter of the city council, will not be there in May when the new people take over.
So it's a total aldermanic election as well?
There are 50 aldermen in Chicago, and between 15 and 20 aldermen will not be there.
Now, are there more dissidents? When I lived there, used to be, what was it, Leon Dupre and John Holland.
Right.
What's the situation now?
Well, right now, people are selective in their dissidents. It's not like where you could expect John Holland and Leon Dupre to take certain positions and regardless. In this particular case, it depends on which interests are involved by which type of legislation. And
what's
so,
the demographic breakdown of the Chicago of the city council?
City council, okay. Right now it's probably about a quarter to a third black. Probably about 8 to 10 more Hispanics, and then the rest other.
Other? Any Asians?
Not yet.
Okay. There's a growing Asian population in Chicago.
Yes, there is. That's why I said not yet. Because
I got you. Yeah, they're not politically aware yet. They haven't got it together like they do out here.
There have been people of Indian descent who have, and I mean East Indian, who have tried to run for the city council in places like Rogers Park and Edgewater and that sort of thing. But they didn't stay in very long. In the 47th Ward, traditionally a bastion of, Germania, you have an Indian American who has an excellent chance right now. He's the favorite of being the next 47th Ward Alderman.
Is he a Democrat?
He is a Democrat.
Okay. What's the majority? Do you have any Republicans or independents?
We have one Republican.
Or Tea Party?
We have one Republican in the city council. All the others are Democrats.
Nothing's changed.
The one Republican represents the 41st Ward, and he... will not be staying because he decided not to run again as alderman because he made an unsuccessful attempt for the state senate, and he was Brian Doherty. He had been alderman since the 1990s.
Term limits. Is there a talk of term limits in Chicago for aldermen?
Oh, occasionally they talk about it, but no one, you know. And there's an argument against term limits. There really is. The argument is that if you've got an alderman who is doing his job well and serving his constituency, and some do, then why change him? And then on the other hand, there is also the argument against term limits that theoretically we have them already. They're called elections.
If you have enough money to get reelected.
Well, this is true. The cost of running for alderman in Chicago has like quadrupled since the 1960s, and it costs what in living memory it used to cost to run for a congressional seat.
Now, what does an alderman get paid?
An alderman gets paid about $108,000 a year. Plus expenses, plus a $25,000 office allowance, plus money for the salaries of three or four assistants.
Oh, well, that's a lot more than San Francisco. It's $125,000 and all the other graft you can get away with.
Yeah.
And all our grafters are carpet baggers from back east. It's really funny. By the way, does the media in Chicago, does the city issue parking ticket exemption or press pass cards for media people who are supposedly covering a story?
Well, as a matter of fact, they do issue, media cards for reporters who are covering a story. You have to be with a legitimate, recognized newspaper, magazine, TV station, radio station. You can't just say that you're a reporter and a freelance reporter or whatever and expect to get a press pass. That's not how it works. They are more careful today than they were in past years about giving out police and fire passes.
Now, does that extend to the exemption to the cars? Or?
Well, yeah, you get a card. If you have a card, you get a card that you put in your
placard. Yeah, okay.
And it just says press, and then it's got the Chicago Police Department star there. And that will generally give you immunity, but if it's apparent that you have misused it, you could get that pass.
Revoked.
Yeah.
About your? There were some experiments with the Chicago School District. What's going on there?
Oh, still more experimenting. Still more trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up.
There's a move here. I did a survey on school boards around the U.S. and Canada, major cities. And in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, they were paying, at that time, this is a 15-year-old survey, I mean, I did it then, they're paying about $45,000 a year, school board members. Do you have that? Now, they're talking to paying our people. They claim they work full-time, 40 hours a week, but that's BS. I know because I was in the district. They want to pay them $50,000 a year plus all the graft they can get away with. Do you have, do the school board members in Chicago get paid any salary or expenses?
I believe they get a salary and expenses. To tell you the truth, I don't know exactly what that figure is, but they do get some.
Now, you still having a problem you had problems with, I remember, Benjamin Willis, Ruth Love, school superintendents. Is it still the same revolving door?
Yes. Yes. First place, that's not an easy job.
No school superintendent lasts.
No, and you do have situations where, you know, good people have left because they've been offered something else.
And less hassle.
Yeah. The current Secretary of Education, for example.
Arne Duncan?
Arne Duncan was the chief of the Chicago School Board.
Right. So now he's Secretary of Education. Excuse me, I got a slight horse.
Yeah.
What is Richard Daley Jr. going to do now that he's decided to retire?
Your guess is as good as mine. I'm sure that he is not going to sit around playing pinochle or anything like that, and I'm sure that he's not going to sit around writing his memoirs anytime soon.
Well, I don't remember him as particularly literate.
You said it, I didn't.
I was at a class at DePaul years ago, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. How many Daleys are involved in politics? Didn't Richard have three or four sons?
Yes. And as a matter of
senior, fact, Richard Senior.
Well, Richard Senior had three or four sons. One son, Bill Daley, is the current White House Chief of Staff.
Okay, he just got that job, and then there was another boy.
Another son is on the county board.
Okay.
Another son is mayor of Chicago, and the other one, I believe, is a banker on LaSalle Street.
Oh, okay. Now, I understand that Bill Daley was connected to Goldman Sachs or Chase. Is that true?
It was Goldman. I think it was Goldman Sachs.
Okay, so he's plugged in, as they say.
They all are plugged in. Yeah.
Patrick, if you were addressing a journalism class today, what advice would you give these students?
What advice would I give them?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've been around, what, 30, 40 years?
Yeah. My advice would be, unless you really enjoy this business and unless you get up in the morning enthusiastic, you know, for the job, let's face it, jobs are increasingly scarce, not only in the newspaper business, but in, you know, media in general. If this is not something that you thoroughly enjoy and can't live without it, then I would have to say find something else.
Well, there was an interesting article in the New York Times, a woman who was laid off or, you know, cut out of the off the employment role at a media entity. She's now doing public relations. Interesting article.
A lot of people go from newspapers to public relations. I've known of people who've gone from newspapers to law. There are options. There are things you can jump to. But unless at this point it is something you cannot live without, then I would just find something else, because there's not going to be an increase in jobs in the future. Automation, any number of other factors are going to decimate the number of papers that are left in the United States and probably Canada, and there are going to be fewer and fewer jobs. So,
by the way, what does paper cost in Chicago daily? What
75 cents for the Sun-Times, $1 for the Tribune.
Now, what about Sunday edition? Does that cost more?
Yeah, it does.
$3 out here, and it's 75 cents. And then if you buy it at a store, there's a tax. So
right.
It ends up being $1.
See, we have a tax on newspapers here in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
I know in some states they do.
Yeah, well, it may be coming given your financial status.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the other question I was going to ask you, Pat? How's your transportation system? Is it improved?
CTA, given the limitations of their budget and the fact that they have had to make a number of cuts over the last 10 years to the point where the system is probably half of what it was, of what we remember in the 1950s and 60s, I still say they do a remarkable job with what they've got.
That's one way to put it. You ought to be doing your public relations, Pat. By the way, what are your plans, old man?
What are my what?
What are your plans?
What are my plans?
Yeah,
what
do you want to do since you moved from, let's just say you're out of a job.
Well, yes. The entire country knows that now. Okay.
Hey, I'm trying to get you an employer out there.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, it's Brendan Behan's birthday.
Oh, Okay, it's also Ronald Reagan's birthday.
Yeah, well, I have changed my mind about some of the things he did with the mentally ill. This is part of the homeless problem. When he
couldn't make small cabinet members.
Well, you remember Sam Pierce? He didn't even know he was the head of HUD. Well, that's another story. Well, you know, we had the debate about Obama and his birthday. I don't want to get into that, but of course you had Lincoln was what, Kentucky or Tennessee or Indiana?
Well, he was born in Kentucky.
You still have the Lincoln cult going up there?
Well, I don't know that we'd call it a Lincoln cult. I mean, Lincoln is very well thought of here in Illinois. And it's amazing the number of politicians of both parties that like to invoke his name at the drop of a hat, a stovepipe hat, if not. But the fact of the matter is that many of these people, if Lincoln were around, I'm sure that he would not totally approve of some of the things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, in your career, you've written a wide variety. What other subjects have you covered? We covered a lot of politics and economics today. We didn't get into the more salacious stuff, so we'll leave that for another show.
Yes,
but what
should.
Kind of articles have you written?
Well, you name it. I mean, I've done everything from politics to crime, and that's sometimes one and the same thing. I covered the papal visit. I interviewed...
Which one was that, John Paul?
That was John Paul II mm-hmm. when he came here in Chicago in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed the King of Sweden. I interviewed two presidents of Ireland, the president of Lithuania. I've met some interesting people.
Yeah, well, you seem to have quite a pedigree there. I don't see why anybody who's worth their salt in the media doesn't grab you. By the way, it's Roger Mudd's birthday, and you're an expert on the Civil War and Dr. Mudd.
Yes, Roger Mudd is related to Dr. Mudd, Dr. Samuel Mudd. And Dr. Samuel Mudd, for those of your listeners who may not know, was the doctor who treated John Wilkes Booth's broken leg. And they sent him to a federal prison, Dry Tortugas Island in Florida, which was the American Devil's Island. And because they claimed that he was part of the assassination conspiracy, actually there is no way he could have known at the time that Booth came to his door, there's no way he could have known what had happened in Washington, D.C. a couple hours before.
Not only that, didn't they have the Hippocratic Oath at that time? He was obligated to try to help him? I mean, medically speaking.
That's still true today.
Yeah.
That's still true today. Doctors are obligated to help a person in distress.
Yeah, so he really got railroaded, but that's not the first time.
No. But
hey, by the way, what's that series that's being shot at, what is it, Joliet Prison? I forgot the name of it. It's a TV crime. This guy is wrongfully in prison, and he they try to break him out and his brother. Are you familiar with that TV series?
I know they're shooting a series there, but I really don't have any of the particulars.
Oh, okay. It's not like Oz. You know,
no.
OZ. Okay.
Right. No.
Well, Patrick, we're going to end with the theme of this show, the ending theme, politics and poker. Unfortunately, I guess the politicians, there are no more smoke-filled rooms unless it's marijuana. But thank you for being on the show. Well, let's do another, and let's hope that somebody out there who's in the media will look for someone like yourself, and maybe we can get you a nice gig.
Well, call me in a minute or two. Okay, seriously.
Take care, Patrick.
Okay, bye.
Good night. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
How am I?
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Well, this interview will stay up on the web, and you can be downloaded on iPod. This is Peter Paul Brizola. See you Friday. Good night. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Okay. Let me just see. Yeah, just finished.
How'd it go?
I thought it was good. I pitched him as much as I could. I'll call him back later. We extended it 15 more minutes to 45 minutes. And we covered a lot of subjects. I thought it was interesting. Oh, sure. And I said, hinted, I came out and said, there's some media person out there listening. They wouldn't get you a gig. And I asked them, what kind of articles have you published? So. Sometimes it's hard to tell with Patrick, but it was a great interview. I thought we covered a lot of subjects that were relevant.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get into the gay thing. We were joking. I joked just a little bit about it. But, we got into Illinois politics, of course, Rahm Emanuel, the dailies, the economic situation, the creditors in Lake Michigan. I tied in and then we ended up with, there was an expert on the Civil War, and I said, by the way, today is Roger Love's birthday, and Dr. Love, railroaded into